everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about the second half of, was this She Gets Revenge? No, this was Battle Royale. Battle Royale. Right. It's easy to forget because no Battle Royale happens. But hey, everybody. Yeah, welcome in. I'm joined as always by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, gang. What's good?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, you want to talk about how these motherfuckers don't understand what a cremation is? Because that's immediately where our episode starts. So we ended with Lady Gaga being very, very upset that she had to drink the blood of the children that she brought in and raised explicitly for the purpose of drinking their blood. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah. I don't know why it's a problem now, but it is. It's a huge problem now. And like, it has, I cannot be clear enough. It has not hurt the children up until this point. So I'm not sure why this time it will hurt the children.
Yeah. They were just like hanging out and playing Donkey Kong and eating snacks while they were having their blood drawn.
Maybe.
And they didn't give a shit.
Maybe it's like, you know how like a shot will get you drunk faster than sipping wine? So maybe it's like you got to just like shotgun these kids' blood in order to heal whatever's wrong.
You got to chug these kids.
Yeah.
Like, she does a kickstand as she's drinking from one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
As a tear rolls up her face.
Cut him in the side. No. Just squeeze him into your mouth. Yeah, exactly.
Walter Bobby, no, does a sick keg stand.
Like, think of one of those funnels, you know, like the beer funnels, but just dumping a bunch of kids. Like, okay, go up now. All right.
One of those novelty hats that has like the big twisty straw and the two beer cans on the side, but it's just one arm from each of the kids and the beer hat thing.
There's like no good way to interpret the words child bong, but that might be the worst one. It's a funnel to drink children through.
Yeah.
So we move on from that to Liz presenting Donovan's like ashes to Iris and just says offhand, like, I did it in the hotel furnace, which like, what the fuck do you mean you did it in the hotel furnace? Like, cremation is like a really hot, like controlled process that requires you. If you just threw it in there, those could just, I mean, honestly, if what she did was just put the body in there and then just like take a random handful of ashes out and be like, yeah, probably enough of him.
Like, he's that's kind of basic. He's a percentage of this, I think.
Yeah, there's like also some like logs. But, you know, Donovan loved that stuff, so it's fine.
I don't understand this scene, you know, because, like, she's basically, I think, Liz, your notes put it, that she's just basically playing with her son's ashes. Like, she, like, kind of scoops a little out and just spreads it on the bedspread. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like just like,
cat.
Well, I guess you're not getting some of that back now, you know? it's just weird, and I don't understand it, really, but I don't know, because she's like, you know, she's like, she's acting like kind of, you know, like the way you would with grief, kind of like, oh, Donovan, you know, you had that mean streak, but you didn't get it from your dad, you get it from me. But then she's just like spreading it like his ashes in this like fucking hotel like bed cover, like where you're never gonna get him back. Yeah.
Yeah, she takes the ashes from her and just, starts, like, dumping them on herself like it's a ritual. Like, that scene in The Big Lebowski, but instead of being played for humor, it's like, I'm a mother who just loves her son too darn much, so right. I'm rolling around in my son's ashes, which, like, oh, okay. I had a moment at first where I was going to be like, oh, no, is Iris going to be pissed because, like, Liz didn't respect her son's body or whatever? And then Iris is just like, nah, actually, it's cool. Let me just roll around these bed. Let me season myself up.
Yeah. So also, this whole scene is framed very oddly. So for, like, the framework of this scene, so Liz brings, like, the body, quote unquote, in a little receptacle, to Iris and is like, this is your son, which there's a lot that could be said about the furnace cremation. My biggest thing is I don't think hotel furnaces have like a big door you can like climb into. That seems like a big safety hazard. And if not that, I think maybe they don't have a way to retrieve the dead body, I think would be the most biggest problem.
Are you telling me every furnace isn't like the furnace trap in the like second or third Saw movie? I can't remember which one. Or a pizza oven.
Pizza oven.
You're a thinker. That's what I like about you. Oven. Pizza oven. Yeah.
Three Brothers cremation.
It's crispy fast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you just have to get the ashes out with like one of those big wooden paddles. Everybody wins.
A peel. Yeah. Pizza peel.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So that happens. And then she's like, here you go. Here's your son's ashes. And then Iris is like, thanks. Do you know where Lady Gaga is, by the way? And Liz Taylor's like, no, she wasn't where we left her. I assume she's around somewhere. And I'm like, that seems like something you might want to nail down.
I hope that's not a problem for us or would-be assassins, you know?
Like. Yeah. No, I'm sure it's fine that we don't have confirmation that she's dead. I think it's good. Should we go look for her? Nah, it's not that pressing of an issue. It's fine.
She'll think it's funny, I bet, you know?
Yeah. We're all going to have a real big laugh about it afterwards. We definitely didn't just witness her, like, kill, like, seven people in both this episode and the last one. It'll be fine. And then, after that, Liz Taylor leaves to, like, leave Iris alone with, like, to have a moment of grief. And then this is where, like, the timing and pacing is very strange, because I'm gonna, spoiler alert, it seems like the only answer to this, including and up to the resolution of this scene, is, oh, Iris is just gonna kill herself still. And this is why she doesn't care about the ashes. This is why she's, like, being the way she is. This is a very bizarre way to act about her dead son's body. She must be getting ready to kill herself. And we'll get there, but it will make more sense in a second why that is set up that way. Only for that not to be what's happening. So she dumps the ashes out, and then kind of like she paws at them like a cat that's maybe never seen catnip before. Just kind of testing it out. And then she like talks to the ashes a little bit. She says the thing that Beef said earlier. And then she gets on the bed and just starts rolling around in it like a cat with catnip. And it's very strange, because that's just a strange thing to do in general. And like, there's a lot of emotional, heavy-handed music playing during this scene. And it's like, okay, so are we supposed to like, is this like a turning point? Because the whole like impetus of this specific character since we have met her has been, I love my son more than anything in the world. If anything were to happen to him, I would kill everyone in this hotel and then myself. So it's like, we don't need to be sold on how much Iris loved Donovan. We know.
Like, problematically so.
Right.
Yeah,
like part of her downfall is that she could not, even when he looked her in the eye and said, I fucking hate you, stop talking to me, leave me alone. She was still like, all right, I'll like follow you a little less close, and that was it, you know?
Final Fantasy X did this all so much better. And I really do mean that, you know, which is odd, I think, but like that's the Blitzball one in case we lost count. But like it did. It really did. Like, you know, anyway. But
yeah. Yeah, and like they're selling it as if this is the opposite, as if this is like Iris died and Donovan is like bemoaning her death. If that was this scene and that is what had happened, maybe this scene would like be something and like be meaningful. But it's like, yeah, man, we know Iris
loves
her kid.
It would be a character's death having an impact.
Yeah.
It would be anything. Yeah.
And like Donovan's been trying to die since like episode one. So like, I'm not sad about that either. And then Lady Gaga, we cut back to Lady Gaga, and she did drink the baby vampire Capri Suns. They're turbo dead for some reason. I don't know how this killed the children. I also don't know how this fixed her bullet wounds, because we have established multiple times that this vampire virus does not heal you like the Wolverine situation.
Explicitly bullet wounds.
Yeah.
Too. Like Lady Gaga explicitly said to Tristan, no, bullets will still kill you, actually.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of vampires in this show just beef it to the most inane things so far. So like I think that bullets would be real high on the list of like, yeah, don't get that in you. But alas, she's fine now. And the if anybody cares, the vampire babies are dead. Lord knows that the show hasn't cared about them until now. Upstairs.
Yeah, Walter and Bobby, our favorite characters.
Yeah, Walter and Bobby, my sweet boys.
We knew the name of before the last scene, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, she doesn't even say their name in that scene. I only know because of the Amazon overlay. Those characters never get referred to by their name in this television show. I only know because of the credits. Upstairs, Iris, Miss Ever shows up, and Iris, who looks at this point very, she's checked out. Like, Iris has checked out, and, like, it's obvious in this scene. And she's like, Miss Evers, I'm fucking out of here. And Miss Evers is like, do you want me to scoop up the ashes and, like, put them in a box or something? And then Iris is like, no, just vacuum them up. Which, again, would indicate, okay, Iris has checked out. She's going to kill herself. And Miss Evers is like, oh, but there's no bag in this vacuum. And then Iris goes, it's bagless. And I'm like, that would have been, like, kind of funny if it wasn't in this really confusing and bad scene. I really wish, instead of the weird I'm in love with James March angle they decided to, for whatever reason, take for Miss Evers, I really wish Miss Evers' bit was exclusively being baffled every time she sees a new cleaning apparatus, a modern cleaning apparatus.
I'm going to be, like, honest. Like, I really, like, I didn't get that scene at all because, like, that is all it could be, right? Like, it could just be, like, you've got a Dyson here or something that Miss Evers hasn't seen, even though she's cleaning in the hotel. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, is there a joke I'm missing where it's like, well, then the ashes just go everywhere, or I don't care where they go or something. But it's like, no, there are bagless vacuums since the 80s, uh-huh. So that's all that could be. And why would Miss Evers, who's obsessed with cleaning, have that vacuum in her hotel but not know what it is until 2025?
That's my biggest thing, is every time they introduce Miss Evers to, like, a new piece of cleaning technology, she's like, what the? And I'm like, it's been, like, 100 years. You're telling me they've never updated the stuff in this hotel? They've never gotten you OxyClean? She was tweaking about OxyClean, like, an episode ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, it would have been so much more interesting if she had, like, an arc where she was really disillusioned with her, you know, endless life now, because OxyClean had kind of, like, taken away her one joy. Like, there used to be such an art to cleaning blood, but now I just put the OxyClean in and it's done. It just does it. I don't have to think. I don't have to work. My life has become an opiated hell of OxyClean. Like, that would be awesome.
And
but
these,
no.
And these fucking greedy ghouls who make this show, and I know you are Brian Murphy and Brian Falchuk or whatever, like, you have product placement right there. Boom.
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
You know, you don't you can offset one of your song choices with this, but they don't. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're like, no, we have to go bankrupt getting every song.
We have to squeeze blood from the blood from the stone that is these early 20th century people, ghosts in the hotel, don't understand new things. And it's like, all right, we keep making these jokes, like, it's enough already. But it's not ever.
It's one of those things where, like, it either needed to be more or it needed to not be in there at all. You couldn't, like, do both of them. It either needed to be her entire shtick or it needed to not be in there. Because she's got too much other stuff going on for a character that means functionally nothing to the story.
And even, like, James March gets in on it with the whole, like, Google sounds obscene. I say, what's that about? Search engines, what? I'm old. And it's like, all right, I get it. But, yeah, you know.
What's a high five? Yeah.
yeah, right.
And then that scene culminates with Iris, again, completely checked out. Like, her face is completely neutral, feeling nothing. Just told Miss Evers to vacuum up the ashes of her son, which obviously is something that's probably very important to this character, since the only thing we know about her is that she only cares about her son to a fault. And so she's very clearly, like, done. And then she, as if that's not enough, she walks up to the roof of the hotel, and it's daytime. So, like, already, if this show was less stupid about its vampires, she would be like, oof, owie, ouch, the sun. But I don't care. I'm so far past caring that I simply don't care. They don't even bother with the sun thing. They're like, no, vampires can go in the sun, idiot. I don't know who came up and with that.
That's just a miss, too, because Brad Pitt, in Interview with the Vampire, does that after the French Theater when he kills all the other vampires. But, you know, spoilers, sorry. But whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes up to the roof. Not only does she go up to the roof, she gets up on the ledge on the corner of the roof and, like, holds her arms out, like the Titanic scene. And, like, we get a close shot of her face looking, like, kind of peaceful. And she takes a deep breath. And it's like, okay, Iris is going to kill herself. Because that is what all of the last 5 minutes of television has been building up to, is that she's going to check out. Like, now that her son is gone, she truly has. She's, quote-unquote, gotten revenge against Lady Gaga, and she's lost her son. So she's going to check out. It cuts away to black. It comes back from the fictional commercial break. Iris did not kill herself. She's fine now. We're going to pretend that didn't happen.
Better.
Yeah, she's fine. She wasn't going to do it. She just wanted to be in the sun, the thing that vampires love doing, being in the sun. And now she's downstairs with Liz Taylor, and they go to get Ramona out of the bank vault thing. Again, they're like, I think Lady Gaga's
still
alive.
Which apparently just like... apparently everyone can just open and close that fucking thing at will.
Because,
like, that seems like the worst use case for a vault is a vault that anyone can get into. Fuck it. Who cares? No records.
Yep. And they're very nonchalant. They're both like, yeah, I think Lady Gaga's still alive. What do you think? Yeah, but it's not that big of a deal. Anyway, time to open up this bank vault. To get Ramona on our side. And I'm like, okay, well, so you obviously think that you need Ramona. So you're pretty convinced that she's alive, I think. Whatever. This scene is baffling. They open the vault, and Ramona has eaten all of the vampire measles children. All of them. Like, there's like 15 or 20 of them in there. And they all got by Ramona. And I have to say, I don't have, like, a solid estimate, but I think that if, like, more than 10 ninth graders tried to whoop my ass, they would do it. I think sheer numbers would overwhelm. This isn't, like, the 100 men versus a bear debate. This is 15, like, 12 to 13-year-olds.
Gorilla, but I care a little more about the gorilla thing, which is to say
gorilla.
This I'm, like, actively disinterested in the sense of, like... You know what, like, these kids, the rules for this are all over the place, so you can't even, like, do anything with it anyway.
Well,
you know?
You can't even
like,
say,
yeah,
like,
I'll be
oh.
real, like...
Mm?
Oh, go ahead, yeah, sorry.
I was gonna say, you can't even, like, argue, like, oh, it's because, like, she's a vampire. That's why she overwhelmed them. They
right.
are, too. They're also vampires. So, but, like...
But the problem is, too, they're not, none of them are vampires. They're all just, like, a pseudo-vampire people whose rules don't, like, aren't consistent from episode to episode in one season of a show, you know?
Or from batch of vampire to batch of vampire. Like, the kids seem to have got the rawest fucking deal of vampirism. Like, it seems like it mostly just sucks for them, as opposed to, like... Ramona was just, like, chilling for a really long time. And, like, the only downside she had is, like, yeah, I fucked up and made my dad immortal once. That was stupid. But other than that, it's been pretty cool. And then you get the kids who are just like, yeah, I have measles and I have to deal with them forever. No good if we're all being perfectly honest. Which,
right,
like,
yeah.
Oh, brother.
Like, she has this blade thing going. And later, not to spoil it, but there's going to be like, oh, that's special blood that might give me strength and powers. But, like, none of them have strength or anything, you know? But, like, it's just wildly strange.
You just hit the nail on the head. I didn't really put two and two together. And we'll get to that scene in, like, a little while. But, like, now we've thrown a whole new as if there aren't enough already. But now we've thrown a whole new wrench into the gears of this type of vampirism. Because if you could, in theory, absorb the abilities or, like, strengths of the person that you eat as a vampire, that would, I think, be, for most of these people who appear to be sociopaths or psychopaths who don't care about anyone else besides themselves and will do active harm to others if given the opportunity.
They'd all go hero season one.
Yeah. They're getting as many people as they can who are, like, what they perceive as powerful. But that doesn't happen. Not even once, even in this TV show that doesn't know what it's supposed to be. Like, you would think that, like, they'd be trying to eat the ghosts, even. Like, ooh, can I get ghost powers? Something.
As soon as you have, like, power levels of blood, we've got an issue, right? And, like, there was a little bit of that quietly in the background with, like, her filtering through kids, but it's like, okay, that could just be, like, a rich person drinking the blood of the young allegory, and, like, I'll let that slide. And then they're like, no, they have magic, and this kid's blood has midichlorians, and I'm like, fuck this.
This is the craziest thing about it, because I feel like it doesn't even take that much effort to, like, you know, like, if we were just writing this, like, we could just go, like, hey, what about this? Like, the reason Lady Gaga has, like, powers, like, she can intuit that Iris is a vampire a little bit, or has, like, special hearing, or maybe moves a little fast that she can cut people's throats, is because she drinks the special blood, which is filtered through the kids. But instead, it's just all fucking random, you know? It's just sort of like, yeah, I don't know, she needs it because she really likes it, but it'll also kill the kids, but it won't, but it'll heal her. And it just seems like it's like there was just no real, like, effort to make any of this make sense. But, like, it didn't need a lot to begin with, you know? Damn it.
Yeah, I'm not asking for, like, a full setting Bible or anything. Right? But, like, a single page, like a set of bullet points would be a good start, I think.
Have an index card that you write to yourself so you remember 3 episodes later and go, like, oh, yeah, right, it doesn't do that, you know? And then stick to it. That's all you got to do. These are my writing tips for the American Horror Story staff. Anyway.
Yeah. God, if only we could send our notes. Ramona somehow overpowered 15 to 20 like preteens and teenagers, young teenagers, who some of which were roughly the same size as her. Managed to one at a time overpower them.
Not a single one of those kids was on the softball team, because if one of those girls are from the softball team, she picks up a brick, spins it around real good, she's dead. That's it.
Yeah. And then when Iris and Liz see all the dead kids, first they're like, what the fuck is happening here? Who are these children with measles? Then they see that the cage that she was in is empty, and they try to run. And Ramona just stops them, and then she's like, I was being starved in that cage, and this sucks, and I'm not happy about you ratting me out. And I'm like, you were in there for, like, literally 1 hour in show. Not 1 hour, like, overall, 1 hour in the show's timeline. You got captured after eating the porn star, you got put in that cage, and then roughly an hour later, God, Will Drake got put in there, and he freed you, and then you ate him. And then the kids got put in, like, maybe 8 hours later. Like, you've been eating more than probably any other vampire in this show has for the entirety of the season today alone. You were basically trapped in a golden corral. Like, I don't know what this weird, like, oh, I'm so weak, I was starving. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know what she's talking about. But she's like,
only killed 9 people today.
Like, yeah. And she's like, also, this is fucked up, but now I have vampire measles, which sucks so bad. You have no idea. It sucks ass so bad. And Liz Taylor's like, oh, well, we have the special magic vampire baby blood that might fix you. It fixed Lady Gaga's bullet wounds. So, like, I don't know that. Me, parentheses, Liz Taylor doesn't know that. But everyone seems to know that the magical baby vampire blood will heal you.
Can I just ask the question? Vampire measles is literally measles, right? Because the kid didn't get vaccinated, and that's what kind of what started this whole thing, right?
Yes.
So Ramona's not vaccinated against measles either?
No, you have to get special vampire vaccines.
But it gave it to the other kids who were vaccinated. Okay. So, like, so I think it It combined with the fact, I think they just want to do like there's two viruses and they combine into one super virus. Oh, yeah, you know, no. Whatever. Like it's the whole like, oh no, a ghost got a disease and now we're all fucked.
Yeah, like, that I got kind of it. Thing. I gotcha. That makes yeah.
But
I
you're mean, right. It sucks. It's lazy. They don't really like explain it well enough. Like sometimes you can only get it by being turned. Also, I guess if you like drink enough kids, you can accumulate enough points to get it or something.
I guess. And you cannot offset that debuff by drinking the good vampire kid blood. That does not offset it. It only offsets bullet wounds.
You have to kill. You have to kill someone, which I don't know how that helps with the measles, but apparently Ramona does.
Yeah, Ramona's like, no, I gotta go kill a random person and that will fix me. And I'm like, I have been very harsh on the vampire rules so far this season, but I am definitely doubling down on the premium baby vampire blood has got to be better for you than just like some guy off the street. I don't know how much better, but it's got to be some level of better. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing the vampire baby blood. But alas, here we are.
Or at least like go get like a biker or something, right? Or like a jogger.
Yeah,
you know? Get somebody
who's like active.
Get, get someone like. Yeah. Get someone like hiking up a mountain and be like, ooh, premium. Yeah.
I could.
No,
yeah.
She's got to just kill somebody. This is literally like we've watched Ramona like just immediately decimate everybody who's like crossed paths with her for the last two episodes. The next sequence could literally be set up just by, oh, yeah, Ramona has gone to like find somebody. And this also happens like. We don't have to set up why Ramona would attack this person. Like, she's done it. Every person she's encountered so far, she's attacked them. We don't need to have, like, a little measles subplot to, like, for us to understand why she has to go hunt someone down. She's just been doing that. So it's redundant. Right. But they needed to set this up, I guess. And Iris and Liz are like, well, we have to go find someone for Ramona. And I'm like, you don't, but okay. And they're coming down the elevator, and as soon as the elevator opens, when they get to the bottom floor, da-da-da-da, crossover time, season three crossover time. Queenie from season three is checking in, and in case you forgot who Queenie is admittedly probably should have been the Supreme at the end of season three of Coven, because she does, in fact, have all of the witch powers. She just got, like, disqualified for kind of no reason during the testing cycle. Justice for Queenie. And now she's here in season five, whatever this is. And in case anyone cares, this will also have a payoff in season eight. And by payoff, I mean there will be a scene in reference to it. It is Apocalypse, yes.
Okay, yeah. I've heard that's the one that like culminates a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, we should leave that as a big surprise, I think.
Yeah, kind of. We'll get there. Yeah. It does something, all right.
It does something,
yeah. So Queenie's checking in. That's season three. Yay, crossover. Everybody's pointing at the screen and clapping like a seal. And Queenie is like, hello, I'm checking in. I'm Queenie from season three. I'm here to be on the Price is Right.
Can I point out something, by the way, too? Because I didn't really watch season three, like, when I was watching it on TV. And, like, I kind of saw a little of three and four, but I never finished either. So I came back in on five and was, like, kind of flabbergasted by all of it and watched it. There, if you don't know, like, if you haven't seen season three, this is, like, wildly nonsensical.
Baffling.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, they talk about a coven, like a witch's coven, so you're kind of like, I guess I missed this in season three, but they don't really go over, like, what's happening or anything, so, yeah, because Queenie's here, right? Oh, yeah, she's like, she's checking into the Hotel Cortez because she wants to be on Drew Carey's The Price is Right, which, like, all right, you know, that feels like American Horror Story doing the whole, like, I heard of a pop culture thing, here it is, you know, and I'm going to date myself now, but, and they do.
Yeah, they
and
love
like,
it.
Yeah. So then,
and they even ever say, like, oh, yeah, I know I'm going to get it pulled up because the Supreme did a little spell on my ticket, which, like, does beg the question of, if you were a game show producer, like, you know how Press Your Luck, there was the day where the one guy solved it,
yeah. And
famously every producer in the back was like, oh fuck, what do we do,
what do we do, get the snipers.
Yeah,
like, how do we stop him, he's gonna take all the money we have for the next three seasons, help. I feel like as soon as Magic was real, one of the first things you do is like, no known witches.
Right.
no spells on The Price is Right. Oh, where do you do every answer on Jeopardy? I'm sure that was just felt fine and above the table.
Yeah, also, we thought this would be good.
Yeah. I feel like, too, like, if you're part of a famous coven of witches, because, remember, at the end of season three, like, they're interviewed, like, the world knows about them, too. Like, aren't you kind of above needing to the fame of, like, I want to be on a game show and maybe get on TV, you know? It's like, you're kind of there. Like, you're kind of famous.
Like, Iris recognizes her.
Yeah.
Immediately. It's just like, oh, yeah, you're Queenie from that famous coven of witches that everybody knows about.
I know, like...
Yeah, yeah. They've straight up, like, basically made it so that in this universe, the witches are just, like, a known quantity, and I'm like, okay, well, that's about to open a whole can of worms in regards to the vampire situation.
It does screw everything up, too, in ways you don't think about, like, when, like, you know, when, what's his face, like, John first sees Holden in the hotel or whatever, and it's just like, you know, it's like, am I seeing things? Or it could be magic, which exists in my universe and is famously known, you know?
Yeah, and mind control and other such amazing feats of power that these witches can do. And turns out that a lot of people have this magical power, because at the end of season three, there was like 1,000 people outside of the house that wanted to get like their magic better, wanted to be better at magic. Yeah. It's so cool. It's
a lot of people who should know to think, is this the work of an enemy stand and or like an enemy jutsu or whatever, because their universe is full of that shit. Just being like, whatever. Who knows? Maybe it's vampire measles. And like they say it because it's stupid, but then it's like actually right, you know?
Yeah. What else could you say in this world that you live in where these things actually happen? Yeah.
Yeah. And so Queenie is a known quantity to Iris, and Iris like brings her up to her room, because once again this is the only hotel where you check in, and then the person at the front desk who checks you in takes you up to your room. Not like a bellhop takes a car to your stuff, like you go up with them and check them in and then personally walk into the room with them and ask them if it's like chill,
right?
And so she does that, and Queenie immediately clocks it, because she's like a borderline omnipotent witch. In case anyone forgot, she's like really closing in on just doing anything. Like, her main ability when we first met her was, if you try to stab her with a knife, it will instead stab you with the knife. Like, she's got that classic Shield Maiden thing, which is like... already ridiculous. And then she also is just like a witch who can do fireballs and shit.
She's already better than Wolverine's healing factor, actually, right? And Deadpool and all that, because she could even just go hurt you. Like, it's actually better. And not get hurt in the first place. Incredible.
She can fuck a monster, get torn to shreds, and then the next day be like, whew, was it good for you?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
She literally fucked a monster just because she wanted to. It didn't even do anything for the story or help anyone.
God, she's so cool.
Yeah. I love that for her.
Queenie was the best of us. Yeah.
Well, don't get too attached, you know. But.
Oh, jeez. So, she immediately clocks it as like, hey, this place is like full of shitty ghosts. I don't want to be here. And Iris is just like, oh, no, it's fine. You should hang out. You'll have a cool way. No problem. And it's like the most obvious, like, why would Queenie not just throw them both against the wall with her mind and just walk out?
Yeah.
And Ramona like pops out of the shower and is like, ah, gotcha. And does she stab her and then get stabbed herself, or like, I can't remember the exact setup.
Well, because Ramona telegraphs her attack instead of like trying to sneak attack her, Ramona like hoots and hollers and then tries to stab her. So Queenie has plenty of time to like prepare for the attack. And then when Ramona stabs her, Ramona's like, oof, ouch, I got stabbed. What the heck? And Queenie's like, yeah, everyone knows who I am except for you, evidently. This is kind of my whole deal. I'm like one of the only witches that has this power. And in fact, it's not one of the seven wonders or nine wonders or whatever. So not even the Supreme has this power. So I think I would be pretty well known for having this specific ability. Yeah. And then like Ramona gets her ass whooped, essentially, just fully gets her ass whooped by Queenie, because Queenie's like, I'm a really powerful witch. And also you can't stab me. And that's, as a vampire, for some reason, all you can do is just stab me with a real knife. And then unfortunately this television show is a triangle strategy based RPG, like Fire Emblem or the latter, or like the like,
Pokemon,
that goes, right. It goes, ghost is better than witch is better than vampire. And James March, who's a ghost, shows up and beats the fuck out of Queenie and beats Queenie immediately because you can't injure a ghost.
So if she like stabs herself, which actually hurts her now. Yeah. Cause like, And for some reason, James March, who doesn't know Google, is like, on top of this shit, he's like, no, I'm a ghost. Your obvious witch powers wouldn't work on me because of nothing to injure. And it's like, but how would you know any of this, James March? But I don't know.
Yeah, how do you know she's a witch? Did you just like, or have you just been creeping? Have you just been in the corner, like listening to all of this go down? And you just happen to decide to step in now?
So James March has the magic powers of being a confident white man who just says shit, and it usually works out.
Yeah.
So he just keeps going. Because he really does. He just like stabs her and is like, yeah, that doesn't work because I'm a ghost. And everyone in the room is like, what? he just like moves on with his life. He's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we figured it out. Which, if you actually watched Coven, you would know that the witches kind of make a habit of blowing ghosts up, like, for fun. Like, that's a thing they do. Like, and the former Supreme had a jazz bitch boy that was a ghost.
And they could also have just told the world, by the way, ghosts exist too while we're here. You know, since we're like, you know, we've seen them, we all know about them and everything. So
That feels a little fucked to leave it the wayside. It'd be like, by the way, witches are real and we've proved this. And while we're here, there is an afterlife, but there's also like 12 different afterlives. And it seems like they're all bad. Well, anyway, take easy.
Yeah, there's one that's like full of clowns and like people who work at the circus. There's all sorts of them.
And if you want to bang a Minotaur, too bad, he's dead. That's Queen.
I'm always giving this.
He was
preface.
Mine.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Too bad that, what's her name, the previous Supreme killed him. That was my beautiful husband. And so James March is like, I'm a ghost, I win. And then Ramona's like, I'm going to drink me some witch juice. And she says something like that. I don't remember exactly what she says.
Witch blood will make me more powerful or something.
Yeah.
She says something where, like, the witch blood is really good to drink. Like, this is, like, seriously good shit. You know?
Hey, and
this is, like, Gatorade for vampires.
Not
I don't
to,
know.
Like, bury the lead, because now they're going to insist that, like, Ramona is extremely powerful, and now she's finally up to the task of beating Lady Gaga. If you're wondering if that's going to culminate in, like, a cool fight where she is very strong and easily overpowers Lady Gaga, I want you to go ahead and remove that possibility from your imagination. Yeah, I want you to know that her having witch blood will accomplish nothing, literally nothing, moving forward. So this was for nothing. All of this was for nothing.
If it's any consolation, it's not Liz ruining your dreams, it's American Horror Story ruining your dreams. But
if I was writing this show, this would have at least a cool payoff where, like, Ramona gets to learn how to do telekinesis or pyrokinesis or something. That isn't what happens here.
If human beings were writing this show, that's what would happen, because that's what everyone wants to have happen. And normal people are like, I want to give my audience things they would like to see, you know, and not just be a douche for no reason and not give people things they want to see. But
dangling the carrot of the
what
idea
if she could, like,
of a
turn
better
into
show.
A bat?
Yeah.
What if she could turn?
Yeah, yeah. Like she turns into a bat, and everybody's like, "Oh shit!" Like regular vampires. Like that would be sick, you know.
Some Ramona kind of can pass. I get it now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after all this transpires and Ramona gets cured, that's the only thing that happens is she gets cured of the vampire measles. So we see her get vampire measles off screen and like bitch and moan about it, and then it's immediately cured one scene later. So it kind of serves literally no purpose. I think
this ends the whole plot line, right? Like the whole vampire measles plot line is just like done now.
Yeah.
Like it was like a big moral quandary that happened that was like, oh no, I've done a terrible thing. And then Ramona ate it. Am I to understand this correctly?
That's what I was gonna say.
There was an anti-vax plot line and Ramona ate it.
Yeah. Is they forgot about 7 episodes worth of show that they had the vampire measles and that they existed and that would be a problem. They set up that whole like, uh-oh, the vampire kids are loose in the city. And then they totally forgot they had written that. And then by the time we got to like episode 8, they were like, oh, shit. We forgot about the vampire measles kids. How the fuck are we going to tie this up? And they were like, throw them in a box and have Ramona eat them. And then this someone like was like, wait, won't they get measles? And they were like, have her drink a witch blood.
It's like, well, you know, we can't just have it be totally consequence free that, you know, that she creates the vampires. So what if it like makes a convoluted plot and kills off a season 3 character? That's something like consequences for Alex's decision to keep this kid alive. Something maybe. No.
Yay. Anyway. I love the Alex subplot. It's been my favorite subplot of this whole TV show. Yeah.
Right.
But it served its purpose, and now Ramona has no measles. She had them for 8 seconds, and now she has them no longer.
And she's like that kid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, okay, well, now that you've helped me not have measles anymore, what do you want from me, James March's ghost? And he's like, I think I want you to kill the Countess. And I'm like, I think everybody wants her to kill the Countess. I think that's been like the plan for forever. She's tried to, I think, like 6 times now during this TV show or something similar to it. And then she's like, well, why don't you just kill her? If you want her dead, why don't you just kill her? And he's like, oh, I can't kill her because then she's going to be mad at me. And she's already mad at me for so many things. You got to do it. And I'm like, well, you don't have to like make it obvious it's you. She still has to sleep like a regular person. So like when she's sleeping, just bonk her on the head with a rock or something.
If only James March knew another killer.
Yeah.
Somewhere, you know, like he has to like, good thing this vampire hunter like got contracted in here. Like you have a whole like army of serial killers. This is your thing. One in particular. Damn it.
Yeah. Also, that one in particular, I think, would be a bigger indicator of, James March was involved in this than like anything else, than any other person being involved in killing the Countess. But alas. he's like, no, it's gotta be you. Great news, everyone. John is still in the show. Speaking of a serial killer who was raised by James March, John Lowe is still in the show. He has a guy in the trunk of his car, I guess to feed his vampire family, which he's totally cool with, by the way. He had no follow-up questions about the vampire thing. He was like, yep, that makes sense. And then he makes the guy in the trunk promise that he's not on drugs. And then when he goes inside the house to be like, hey, everybody, pizza's here. They're all gone. But there is a key to the Hotel Cortez hanging from the little key rack thing. Later we're going to find out like what's happening here. It can only be the Countess who could have done this. How did she overpower his family? How did she overpower Alex and 2 other people? I mean, like, Holden is, like, a foot so Holden's not much help. But, like, Scarlett and Alex are in their house. They have home field advantage.
Yeah, it feels like they want to have the Countess have, like, this, like, thrall over people. And they try to, like, insinuate it over the course. But then they, like... never go all in on it. So it feels very stupid when Alex, an adult woman with a family, is just like, okay, mommy, I'll go with you. It's like, no, but come on. Come on.
That's the thing. They want to, but there's like plot complications with it, like with Liz and Iris and such. You know what I mean? But so then they're like, they just don't go all in on it. So they're just like, well, I don't know. I guess she's just really charming. I guess she's hot. That's
she
it.
Asked nicely.
She's just like regular hot person, but also
yeah,
a vampire.
She said please, and it worked. Right. She just had to say please. Yeah. And so that's the implication is that they're at the hotel. So he goes to the hotel, and Sally is waiting for him on the bed of the room that the key goes to. And John, who's a fucking idiot for the 50th time, holds a gun to her head, even though she's a ghost and he knows she's a ghost. And Sally's like, I would just kill you right now, but James March needs you. We need you to kill one last person, John Wick. We need you to do one last hit. ta-da. And she's like, the last commandment. This is also set up ass backwards. She's like, you're going to have to kill one more person for James March. And she's like, there's still one commandment left. Thou shall not murder. And he's like, well, where am I going to find a murderer? And she says, well, it shouldn't be too hard. And like the implication is like James March is going to have John kill himself. Because why would James March have him kill Lady Gaga? Because that would be so incriminating. And also, that's not like... like the first person that comes to mind when killer is mentioned here. Normally it would be because she has killed quite a few people. But also in this same season, John's a serial killer. Yeah. And we saw like 19 other serial killers in this hotel. So not my first guess, frankly.
That is the only ending, too, that, like, gets over the insanely inherent hypocrisy of a Ten Commandments killer, and one of the commandments being, yeah, don't do that, you know?
Yeah.
That's it. But exactly. That's the only way. But they don't do that. It's now it's a vampire. And it's like, that doesn't work, you jerk-offs. Like, that's, what? No.
Yeah, like, he doesn't want to kill you. Also, it would be, like, not to defend John Lowe as a character, but, like, it would be, like, a kind of, like, compelling, like, Saw John Kramer type argument of, like, or, like, situation of, like, well, your family will be safe forever, and James March will make sure that you're safe forever, but you do have to kill yourself to atone for your sins because James March wants the Ten Commandment killings to be completed. That would be, like, mildly compelling. Like, at least a little bit, because there would be a conflict there. Yeah.
Right.
There would be a little bit of conflict there.
It's like, it's the most obvious answer, but it is an answer, and it's better than just, like, well, here's another killer. You can kill them. That's fine, too. You know, like, which, okay, I guess, you know.
Also, James
it feels very half-assed by the writers.
Yeah.
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 Very cool.
Yeah,
Ramona's already been fired, I guess.
Oh, maybe... wait, maybe it's like both, where he's like, well, I want to have John kill himself for the poetic justice, but I do need Lady Gaga dead, I guess, by my own hand, which I never could have done before, like, this week or whatever, even though I'm a ghost that's been with her for fucking decades. But
she'd be mad.
Yeah.
She'd be
really
mad.
Pissed if she knew it was me.
And he forgot he hired Ramona, I guess, or vice versa, and hired one after he hired the other one.
It's like if Ramona kills him first, though, he can kind of go back to plan A, you know, and then be like, oh, okay, don't worry about it, John. We're going to go to the real Fifth Commandment thing, you know, whatever, now. But
yeah. Now it's you, John. Tough shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So
I gave you a loophole, but
but I fucked it up. Ramona puts on a super sexy dress and then meets back up with Iris and Liz, and she's like, she makes a passing like statement about how she can't be photographed, and I'm like, what? That doesn't even make any sense because you can see these vampires in mirrors, which is like the whole part about the photographs thing is because whatever. Thanks for the one last parting, like, oh, and by the way, vampires also do this in this show, even though it doesn't make any sense. And Liz is like, well, here's our guns and knives. And then Ramona's like, I don't need them. I've got witch blood, which doesn't mean anything to anyone and won't mean anything to anyone by the time this is over.
I have my powerful super mode. What does it do? I have it. Okay, Ramona.
Yeah.
You sure you want a knife? No.
My confidence is very high.
It's very tasty blood. Spicy, you know.
Yeah.
A little kick to it, yeah.
She's like, I got the zoomies. I drank the good blood, now I've got the zoomies. Yeah, but Lady Gaga is back in her penthouse, and she still seems, like, sick or, like, hurt and, like, sad. Like, she's definitely not on top of her game. She does not look very good. And then Ramona comes in, and Lady Gaga says her blood smells like walnuts, and so she recognized her without looking at her, and Ramona says that her blood smells like licorice. And then... Ramona's like, I drank witch blood. I have grizzly bears in my veins. And then they get really close to each other's faces. And this is like just Hallmark textbook toxic Yuri. And then they start having like a weird, like very intimate conversation where Lady Gaga's like, I'm not cursed. I am accursed because everyone who gets close to me dies. And I'm like, well, if you'd stop killing them, maybe they wouldn't die.
Yeah, right?
None of them have died of, like, natural causes.
Like, if anything, John had a better case for it when he was just like, yeah, I was with this little girl and she got exploded by a truck. Like, at least that wasn't, like,
God,
him
was
doing
funny,
it,
though.
You know?
She hated me so much.
My child
she
got
isekai'd. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga's like, sorry for all the bad shit I've done. You can have the whole hotel. I don't want it anymore. And then they start making out. And then she's like, we're going to have sex. But after we have sex, you have to kill me. And Ramona, I'm sure in her mind, was like, oh, sick. That's what I actually came here for. So win-win for me. But alas, that will not be what happens. Because unfortunately, Ramona... like the best of us, folds instantly to Lady Gaga. So the witch blood means nothing. Ramona just is still down bad for her girlfriend, unfortunately. Never got over her ex, and they have hot lesbian sex, I guess. Afterwards, Lady Gaga's not dead, and Ramona is like, I don't want to kill you anymore. And she gets to leave. Gaga gets to leave with, like, her bags packed. And she gets to the elevator, and it opens, and someone's inside of it, and it's John. And John shoots her, like, a bajillion times. Ta-da.
I was so annoyed.
Ta-da.
I actively sighed on this scene. I was like... because there was still a part of me that was like, okay, you know, maybe John is gonna kill himself, and it's a whole thing. And then as soon as Ramona let Gaga walk out the door, I was like... oh, man. Like, I was hoping there would be a moment of, like, oh, shit, I was going to kill her. Oh, brother. Well, guess I got to kill myself. Like, you know, something like that. But, like, no, as soon as Ramona was like, okay, you can go. Nice sex. Then John is just like, hey, I'm here in the elevator. Bada bing, bada boom, baby. And it's, like, so conveniently timed to. Do you think he was just riding up and down the elevator, or, like, the hotel is, like, not busy enough that he just, like, held the elevator, like, one floor down and was just chilling?
Did he even really know, like, that she stole his kid or whatever? Which, like, at least if he did, like, they don't mention it in the show, or it's kind of glossed over, because then there's at least a little poetic justice or something, but that's never brought up.
So
it's just like,
then it would, like, be like, oh, then he would know that James March had been, like, manipulating him, because James March is the one who orchestrated so, like, he would. I don't think James March would want him to know that.
Right.
But, like,
that's fair.
It's at this point where it's like, okay, so, like, I guess it's good that James March hired two people, because I guess there was a 50-50
right?
chance either of them might just not kill her and have sex with her instead. That seems to keep happening to Lady Gaga. People go to kill her, and she's like, what if we had sex about it? And they're like, okay. But, and then she gets to not be dead.
The only thing is his plan... like, it takes one threesome, and that plan sucks too, you know? Like, it's
and
not...
John loves those. He's been in, like, three of them in this TV show. Yeah. But this time she's super dead, because he cuts her head off and puts it in a jar for James March, and James is like, yippee! And it's in his, like, little serial killer room, and I'm like, this kind of, like, she's definitely already a ghost, so, like, she sees you, like... doing this and
right,
also
yeah,
sees that her head
right.
is in here. Like, she knows you're to blame for this, like, for real, for real. I don't understand.
Yeah. Your wife knows about your room filled with Funko Pops. Like, she knows yeah. about it. You've shown it to her proudly at this point. So she's going to go in there and be like, wait, hang on one second. Why do you have a Funko Pop of me?
Yeah. Like, now I hate you even more than I did before, which was already, like, a lot. And then as they're,
yeah.
like, talking about the beheaded head in the jar, Sally comes in with a knife that's clearly meant to stab John, because the other people in the room are ghosts, so it wouldn't make any sense for it to be for anybody but John. And James March stops her and is like, don't make me send my addiction demon after you. And I'm like, what does that mean, James March? So you summon him like a Pokemon? You like throw him out? You're a ghost. How do you control a demon? Why do you have a demon? How did that?
Why'd you pick that demon?
Yeah, why that one? Why the one with the drill dough? What's you that know? About? And you just right? and you have it harass other ghosts? What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah. they drop that one in like the second to last episode, so we don't have any opportunity to like find out anything about that. And then John's like, I want to see my family, and it's like, fucking whatever, John. We're not gonna see that. James March is now setting up his like once a month date with Lady Gaga, but now it's forever. And he asked Miss Evers about her first time, but isn't clear about what. And she's like, oh, having sex? And he's like, no, you idiot. When you realized you were a ghost, what else would I be alluding to? And then James is like, oh, I'm afraid that Lady Gaga is not, she's going to be scared and not know she's a ghost. And I'm like, I think she's been here for like 100 years. I think she's got a pretty good handle on how this works. Of person to also, Will Drake was a ghost and hassled her. Like, she knows that if someone dies here.
Right.
Also, Tristan would be a ghost here, and we never saw him again. Just now thinking about
also,
that.
Also, none of the ghosts freaked out that they were ghosts. Like, we've yeah. actually never seen that.
Maybe the
know?
Swedish girls, but it's more so that, like, they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know they were ghosts. They just didn't know what was happening.
Right.
Whatever. Whatever. And then Lady Gaga shows up, and her and Miss Evers have a weird little beef with each other where Miss Evers like calls her a slut or something. I don't even remember.
Trollop or something.
Yeah, think, right? She uses an old timey word like for slut. And then James March is like, I forgive Lady Gaga. I forgive you for turning me into the police. And she's like, I didn't. And he's like, it's okay, we're dead now, you can, it's fine, you can just be honest with me. And she's like, I fucking didn't. And then she literally just looks at Miss Evers, and Miss Evers caves under zero pressure.
Oh, I did it. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, fuck, I fucked it. I'm a little fucking idiot. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. And, like, it is legitimately, like, Lady Gaga just being like, I didn't do it. Someone else must have done it. Oh! Like, it's so egregious.
Twist my arm. Twist my ghost arm.
Oh. Yeah, and it gives this explanation of like, oh, I just wanted to die with you in the hotel so we could like hang out forever. And then James March is like, well, I hate you forever. Okay, bye bye.
It's like, aren't you mad at the irony that you were going to do that, James March? No, and it's not even a thing you can think about because who cares? Like, it's just move on. Anyway, bye bye, Miss Evers. And she's like, yep, I guess now I've finally free to move on or something, or I don't know. But I'm
yeah,
not going to clean for you anymore.
He banishes her. He says, I banish you. Like, that fucking means anything. I'm like, Miss Evers, girl, right? Get up. You're all ghosts. He can't do shit to you. Just tell him to fuck off. I guess he could send the addiction demon, but, like, just don't manifest, and then the demon can't hassle you. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I think you have to be addicted to something, too. I would have to imagine,
like,
that's part of the addiction, right? Yeah. It's not
addicted
just, like, a
cleaning.
Demon that just had... Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
True life.
And then,
addicted to cleaning.
The addiction demon just...
They have her, like... And they have her, like, stand up and have this defiant moment where she says the most, like, blatantly tortured, like, they thought this was hard line, where it's like, there are more stains in heaven and earth, and it's like a rewriting of an old Shakespearean line or some shit, and it is just, it sounds bad, it sounds clunky, it's like if someone tried to like rewrite Yippee-ki-yay and it came out as like, yes, and henceforth too, absolutely, stains. Like, it's just like, what are you doing here, man? It's so out of place, and it's, I don't need Mrs. Evers' redemption arc. I'll be real. I don't give a shit about this lady. I couldn't give a single rat's ass. She's garbage.
It's not even a redemption arc. It's just her being weird and, like, obsessed with James March, which she never was until, like, this episode.
She's a one-note joke character, you know? Like, we had one chance for her to, like, have, like, a backstory with her kid dying and the real goddamn thing that they decided. That goes nowhere. Like, we don't learn anything about it. No one cares. And then, oh, yeah, anyway, I'm just cleaning. Like, you know, well, I'm off to live and do that. It's like, you don't want to see your kid anymore? Like, that wasn't any... Oh, no, all right, never mind then. Whatever, so...
No, there's stains in heaven. I gotta go clean or whatever. That's my deal.
Right.
And then James March and Lady Gaga toast. And there's nothing really interesting about this scene except for that it is... so out of focus, and they didn't do a reshoot, and it is bad. For it to be the last scene of, for all intents and purposes for this show, the finale of the show, it is the last scene of what is functionally usually the finale of the show, because the penultimate episode is usually a recap, kind of. It's bad. It's bad.
They're cooking something. It's real bad. They're cooking it. I love it. Sorry, anyway.
The pressure cooker has been turned on.
I found the note, by the way, and it's Miss Evers says, there are more stains in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, which is really clunky and doesn't work, and it's because it's a rewrite of Hamlet, which is, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than dreamt of in your philosophy, which is like a way better line that makes a lot more sense of just like, hey man, there's a lot going on, as opposed to there are more stains. Like, also, changing things to stains doesn't really work.
Give her a Macbeth line. You have Lady Macbeth and the stain thing right there. Like, you know, and it's more poignant, and it kind of sort of works kind of for Miss Evers, or it could if you wrote it better, but they didn't.
So. You could at least convince me it works. Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, there you go.
it might not, but I'd be like, sure, yeah, cool, yeah, why not?
Good enough.
Yeah, Macbeth.
Right.
But what if I told you that the title of the final episode of this season of American Horror Story was a Beauty and the Beast reference? Would that be anything?
Be our guest. Be our guest. No. No, emphatically no. Unless, wait. If the last episode's a musical, I'm back in. I'm back
I'll
in.
Forgive everything.
If they decided they're finally doing Glee, if they're just like, yeah, we are just doing High School Musical or Glee or whatever the fuck it is we did. We're just doing that again, but it's spooky. Like, all right, I'm back in. Sure, man. I'm so sick of the rest of this that I'll put up with a musical. I'll even say a musical's an upgrade, and I don't like musicals that much. I'm so excited to see what they're going to do, too, because it feels like every story, like, and it's American Horror Story. The second to last episode is always everything is done, everything is wrapped up. So I don't know what they're even going to do for an extra hour. God, I hope it's not everybody, like, hanging out being like, yippee, we're actually having a great time being ghosts like they did in season one. I will yell.
I was going to bring that up, yeah, because I think that's probably the worst, right? Like, at least thus far, that we've all seen is, like, of endings. It's like the, you know what, we're actually a happy family as a ghost thing, right? That's maybe the worst, but, you know, we'll see if this regs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for listening, and look forward to what is probably going to be part one of the finale, because I have just so many words to say about this season, and I can't wait to share them with you, so I hope you'll tune in next time. Have a great night.
Bye.